A new year means a new opportunity for growth. And in the case of Wondercast, a new season. Welcome to season 9. A lot of care went into deciding how to start this brand new year, brand new season. As a new year starts with goals and growth, it is important to recognize the networks, resources, and systems that are there to help us along our growth. Welcome to Wondercast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness or injury. Wondercast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Today, we visit with the LUNA Resource Network. Navigating losses, building community out of hardship, and advocating for resource sharing and community connection. Listen and learn some new tools that might apply to your specific areas of growth in your own life. This is the LUNA Resource Network. Meet Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much, Julie, for having me on the podcast today. So yes, my name is Sarah Bean Guillen, and my background is rooted in some restorative practices, and I actually started doing a lot of anti-bullying, so bullying prevention work across the United States. Through that, I wanted to drop more into counseling. So I was able to get my degree, my master's at the time, in school counseling with the real goal, knowing I wanted to work with youth. I started working in the state of California with all different types of schools, elementary, middle, high school, public schools, charter schools, a lot of different setups in doing school counseling. And then I really got into more of nonprofit-based counseling, which kind of put me into various schools in a very big county in California. And so through my experience with school counseling, it was wonderful. And honestly, it can be overwhelming as a school counselor. Sometimes I was one counselor to 500 students at a middle school, for example. And it's a lot, right? It's a lot to hold when you're looking at all different types of challenges that these students are facing, from mental health, wellness, health, academics, etc. And so at the time, ironically, we had one of our Camp Aaron camps. So now I work with the LUNA. We have Camp Aaron. We have Camp Mariposa. Camp Aaron's this fabulous grief camp. We had one in my backyard as a school counselor, and I didn't even realize it at the time. And oh my gosh, how I wish I would have known about this free grief camp for kids at my school, right? So what I noticed when I found a LUNA is I love how they drop into grief support for kids, but also addiction prevention work for youth impacted by addiction in the family. So I've been doing this now with a LUNA for 3 years, really focusing on just these two topics under the major umbrella of mental health. And I feel really passionate not about just supporting youth and families that reach out to us constantly, and of course, all of our campers. But I also have a lot of school counselors that reach out to me on a regular basis and ask for extra help. And it really fills my heart because I know what it's like to be in a school and to be overwhelmed and to want to be able to do even more. And so you have to find your network, your trusted partners and organizations that can help you and have your back. So I have your back if you're out there in a school-based setting and you're feeling overwhelmed, or if you're a caregiver and you just need some extra support around grief or addiction prevention. That's really what I do and what completely drives me to continue building this work and spreading the message like I'm doing here today with you all.
Oh, I love that so much. And we have lots of flexibility with how we take this. So many of our listeners obviously are impacted significantly by serious illness or injury. That can look very different. That can be brain injury, that can be new diagnosis, that can be end-of-life diagnosis, that can be recurrent cancer, recurrent heart disease, things that were maybe settled one direction and then kind of took a turn for a different direction, and now they are reconnecting for support. We see loss through that, but we see when somebody dies, there's loss, but there's so much ambiguous loss that happens even with just disease. I would love if we could kind of start maybe setting a foundation of how you and a LUNA view ambiguous loss.
Okay.
Let's maybe define that.
Let's define that, Julie. And I'm so glad you started there because this has been such a big topic coming up more and more for us, because we not only have our grief camp, we also have another camp called Camp Mariposa for youth impacted by the illness of addiction, so substance use disorder in the family. And so we have been developing recently a lot more resources around ambiguous loss. So we really define it at LUNA as a major life circumstance or change, like you were mentioning, it could be due to an illness, it could be due to estrangement in the family, incarceration, family substance misuse, dementia, mental illness, immigration-related challenges have been coming up for us more recently for families reaching out for help, a family member who's missing or a child who's missing, and then also losses connected to our foster care or kind of youth in the adoption system as well. You know, many of our campers at Camp Mariposa, so 90% have one of their primary adults, their parents, struggling with the disease of substance use disorder. But then also 79% of our campers have a family history of mental health challenges as well. And then 51% have been in foster or kinship care. So when we look at ambiguous loss, like you said, these are non-death losses that often aren't recognized in society. And we find it very important to be able to define it, like you said, to name it, to really open that conversation and recognizing this as a form of grief and loss.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to also recognize that while your primary issue right now might be your illness, all these other losses that go with, you know, maybe a divorce in the family or maybe a change in housing situation or food insecurity, those compacted loss are also impacted by disease. And so they just, the kids that are facing these and family systems that are facing all of this loss, it's just, it's so taxed. And I know that so many of our listeners might be kind of coming away feeling a little bit defeated. Like, how do we even start? Like, where do we even begin to tread water and feel like we're actually getting somewhere closer to shore? I would love if you could kind of talk a little bit about kind of some of the methods that Aluna uses to help families navigate ambiguous loss.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I think one thing to think about, like you mentioned, is with these non-death losses, there's typically not any type of ceremony, right? So there's no funeral after you've had a divorce. There's no obituary when there's memorial, you know, a mental illness in the family, for example, right? So I think first we want to, of course, name it, understand that this is a type of loss. And then considering maybe some different ways to create almost a ceremony or some kind of ritual or a way to really honor or remember that person, not really remember the past and what it was like and recognize that this is still part of your experience with this person, even if the present is very different. So there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of think about some ceremonies. So one thing we do at our Camp Mariposa program, for example, is we have something called the Letter to Addiction Ceremony. And so what we do is we have all of our campers write this letter to addiction. So it's really recognizing that the addiction is not their family member. And they spend a lot of time getting support and prompts and time and music and space to really kind of craft this really deep letter and honoring all their feelings, how they feel about that disease of addiction, how it's impacted them, all those kind of changes in their life and listing out those changes that they want. So they write this really long letter. And then they bring them to this campfire. And at this campfire at camp, you know, every camper can choose to share it or not and just listen to other campers. And if they do share it, they get a lot of support around that. And as they share these letters to addiction, it helps these other campers to hear that they're not alone in these feelings of anger and rage and grief and shame and all the changes that are happening in their life due to the disease of addiction. And then after the sharing ceremony, they can choose to also keep the letter or burn the letter into the fire, right? And so this could be a really powerful way for your families, you know, that you all serve that are navigating some kind of illness. You can write a letter to that illness, you know, and you can create a whole ceremony acknowledging those feelings and, you know, shredding the letter or burning the letter, whatever feels more appropriate for your setting as a family or in your care setting as well, could be one unique way to kind of create a ceremony around that.
I love that. And I love that it is applicable directly to our population as well, because so many times kids will associate frustration towards the parent initially, but with guidance, they come to see that in many ways, it's the disease or the illness or the injury that is affecting the way that the dynamic has shifted in their family. And that's the real issue, not the person themselves. I think that's a wonderful, tangible outlet for people to be able to access.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I hear that. I think it's really important to start, like you said, we do that a lot at Camp Mariposa, separating the illness from the person. And there's so much can be healing that can start to be done in that process. And, you know, one model we use is called the 7 C's. And the more I'm thinking about it now, Julie, is that this might really apply to your group as well. So the 7 C's is talking about the illness of addiction. So the C's are, I didn't cause it. I can't control it. I can't cure it. Right. So this could be for any disease. Right. But I can take care of myself, another C, by communicating my feelings, making good choices, and celebrating myself. And so what we do at each of our camp sessions is we break down these C's and do different kind of activities and ways to kind of process and internalize these C's. And we have free posters on our website if you're all welcome to kind of check them out. So a lot of our families, not only our campers, but their caregivers take these home and they print them, they put them on the fridge, and because they start realizing that they see themselves in these C's. And a lot of our campers talk about how they feel like they've totally lost control in the situation that they're facing with this illness, the disease of addiction. And so we do a lot of work at our camps around doing the circles of control. So, okay, what can you control in that first circle? What are things you can't control? And then what you can't control outside that circle? So this comes a lot. It's a lot of work in recognizing that, but helping the young people plus their parents or caregivers recognize what they really can control right now, given this really challenging circumstance that they're navigating together.
I love that. And I love that it's an intentional focus on each section. And I love how different they are. I think it's important that before we can move on to talking about choice and healthy care, we have to acknowledge, first of all, what our boundaries are.
Right. And the can'ts. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting with a lot of youth, and this may come up for your children as well that you all support, is, you know, young people have that egocentric tendencies. And so sometimes they believe that they caused their parents' disease with addiction. And so we do a lot of work with helping them recognize that they didn't cause this, they didn't have anything to do with this. And so there could be some work there too in thinking through some of the losses that you're all navigating related to some illnesses, realizing that they can't control, but they also didn't cause it. There's nothing they could have done to change kind of the outcome of what's happening right now with their family, right?
Have you found that people, when they come into your programming, that they kind of are quick to develop a certain awareness of one of the C's over the others? Like, do you feel like it goes in that chronological order typically, or do you feel like it gets shifted around?
It gets shifted around a lot. So I did a whole interview series that you can find for free on our website of interviewing different mentors. Now, a lot of our mentors, by the way, were campers at one point, or they have walked this walk. So they very much have walked this experience of having a substance use disorder in their family as well. So each person talks about how one of those C's really stands out to them in my interview. And so that's the same for campers. So one of our beautiful campers, she started when she was 9 or 10 as one of our campers, became a junior camp counselor, and now is one of our mentors. And she has her own child now of her own, so a mother now, and so going through that role. But she really talks about how realizing that she kind of couldn't, that she didn't cause her family member's struggle with addiction was really important to her and how much work she had to do. And then for her, she's trying to do a lot of self-care right now, even if it's like the smallest little things of like doing her hair in the morning. She talks about like those small little accomplishments for her are really critical because her environment growing up was so unstable and so unpredictable that she tries to do little self-care things for herself and then also for the campers. So she said sometimes she'll just braid a camper's hair if they ask for that and want that and do little things to support them. But a lot of our other campers I've talked to too and kind of mentors have talked about even celebrating. Sometimes in, I think when we struggle with illness or any kind of illness, whether it's the disease of addiction or otherwise, we forget to kind of celebrate and have some moments to find joy. And we don't even want to give our permission slips to ourselves to kind of experience that joy. So this comes up a lot for our campers. They've kind of haven't had as many opportunities to be celebrated. So we really weave this in, kind of celebrating small things and not something about their appearance, right? This is very much internal things and supporting them. So we do ropes courses. And if they feel comfortable, they, you know, we really support them and celebrate them if they want to kind of climb up and go across this big ropes course, or you know, connecting with animals we do a lot, or lots of artwork. And so we just kind of try to find ways to provide positive outlets, but also celebrating kind of how they participate and show up at camp as well, for example.
I know that there's camp, but does Aluna also do ongoing support throughout the calendar year as well with events, virtual or in person?
Yes. So for our Camp Erin, which is our grief camp for the death of someone close to you, we have ongoing workshops throughout the year. And then Camp Mariposa is a year-round camp. So all campers and mentors have to go to 6 camps a year. They sign up for that. And so it's every other month. And then when they don't have a month of camp, in those kind of off months, we actually do a community building event. And because what we say now, the seven C's, that there's one C that we all feel is missing, we call it the eighth C of community. It's really important for families navigating any type of illness or addiction in the family, right, that they have opportunities to build community, because that's often been taken away from them. So we do a lot of fun food, just bringing people together. If we can find funding or support campers, you know, and getting out and doing some kind of activity together or a field trip even. So that community is really, really important. And especially for a lot of our campers, they have felt so isolated in navigating this ambiguous loss of substance use disorder, that it's really important that we give them just these fun moments to be together and not feel so alone. And for their family members, caregivers, foster parents, the grand families taking care of grandkids is a lot of our campers, right? So we really want to provide spaces for all of them to feel like they can be supported, and the parent in recovery too. You know, they're welcome into this space if it's the right time for them to do that. So we're very supportive, non-judgmental, and try to create spaces of community and community building throughout the year for Camp Mariposa. Now, a Luna Resource Center, we have all these resources and confidential personalized support that we also provide year-round. So anyone's welcome to kind of see different events we have going on or virtual events, or always reach out to us confidentially if you'd like, if you really would like personalized support around the ambiguous loss that you're navigating.
One of the things I really love is I love your resource network, and I really will link your resource library in our podcast. Mm-hmm. But just the multitude of resources. And I don't know that our listeners really understand everything that's there across all developmental levels. There are some incredible resources available for them to help them be able to support their kiddos.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate that. You know, and we really try to make it very user-friendly, free to access. We don't want to have a bunch of ads taking over the whole page, right? We really want you to feel like you can walk into this place and start to find some resources to reflect your experiences. So you can definitely go to our online library, type in the word ambiguous loss, and you'll see all of our resources around that topic in particular to start. And then always reach out. That's why we have the free personalized support where you can say, hey, I'm really looking for this, or I'm having trouble finding a resource on this specific challenge that we're facing, and see if we have it. And if we do, we will provide it. And if not, we will link you out to someone like you all, Julie, to if you're the ones that might have a better resource to match their specific needs, for example.
If a family is wanting to, maybe they have a loss in their family due to illness, or maybe they do fall into the more Camp Mariposa space, how do they go about finding what camp is located closest to them?
Yes, if you go onto the alunanetwork.org, which is our website, and then in the top bar, you're going to go to camps, and then under camps, it's called Find a Camp Near You. And then in that space, you can just type in your zip code or your state, and you'll see exactly which Camp Aarons, which is our grief camp, or Camp Mariposa, our addiction prevention and mentoring camp, and see which one is closest to you. So that's really the best way to start there. We also now have a national program guide where you can go over there, and that's in the Luna Resource Center section. And you can type in your zip code there. It will show you all of our camps, but it will also show you beyond Aluna's network what else is out there. So any organization that's offering grief support that's filled out our form, or addiction prevention support, will have their resources listed there as well. So we're really trying to make these free, accessible guides and resources available to any family member listening right now, or any support professional that's listening and really wants to kind of see what's out there within those zip code kind of radius communities, right?
If somebody is listening in and maybe they're really considering reaching out, what would you say to encourage them to move forward with that?
It takes a lot of courage that first time to reach out, you know, and I just really encourage you to take that first step and just hit send. So put the email out there or fill out one of our forms or email me directly and just throw it out there and say, this is what I need. And then once you do that, I think you'll immediately see how quickly we're going to respond and come back to you with some resources. And a lot of people, once they reach out, it's that first step. And then it just opens up more doors to get to the resources that you need. And that's our goal. We really want to be a stepping stone for you to get to the right resource, whether it's a Luna or it's not one of our programs. That's okay. We just want to make sure you feel seen, heard, respected, and supported in that space. And then we also are bilingual on our team, so we speak Spanish and English. So just know that if someone here is listening and speaks Spanish or prefers Spanish, we can definitely support that family as well directly to kind of get pointed in that right direction. So I just really encourage you to reach out. We're really supportive. We've walked the walk. We've been there through lots of different types of losses ourselves, and really just want to provide you a space where you can kind of feel supported and respected in whatever you're going through. And we will do our best to help you out.
With your experience and the work that you're doing through the schools and then also now through Luna Network, what kind of barriers do you find to care for families that may be facing loss, either ambiguous or bereavement or any sort of related to their circumstances?
Yes. One of the biggest barriers we see is, unfortunately, like a stigma around either grief and or addiction itself. Substance use disorder in particular has a lot of stigma, and there can be a lot of fear about, you know, signing up your child for an addiction prevention camp. What does that mean? You know, are people going to unfortunately hear about our story or learn about us because they know we're going to this camp and things like that? So, of course, everything is very confidential and support in that way, but we recognize that it can be hard. Society hasn't done a great job of really openly supporting and talking about challenges with substance use disorder in the family and making it feel okay to reach out for help. But that's what we're here for. And I think we all have a job to do of creating these communities so we're not so in isolation and really being brave and trying to overcome this. Because once we're together in community, then all these beautiful emotions and connections and reflections start really happening for so many of our campers and our families who have felt alone for so many years. So I think stigma is a big one. I think that's why podcasts like this, education, talking about it openly, recognizing that this is an experience that a lot of people are going through. There is an epidemic with addiction right now. And also grief is universal, but it can feel like you're so alone. A lot of our campers say, I never knew there were so many other people grieving the death of someone. And they just felt so isolated, like they were the only one in their school. So I think just talking about it more openly, and then that can open the doors to hopefully people saying, wait, there are also programs and resources to support me specifically with what I'm experiencing. So stigma is a big barrier for our families, I would say.
What would you say is your favorite part of the work that you do?
Creating that sense of connection and community. So recently one of our mentors, you know, was talking about that letter burning ceremony with the letter to addiction and how this camper at first was a little nervous and they never have to share, but all of a sudden these other campers came up and just started putting their arms around them and said, if you want to share, we can share to, you know, we can support you and stand right next to you. And then when they finally started sharing, all these other campers started connecting with them and say, well, I've also been in the foster care system. I've also gone through some of this. Not that it's the same experience, but we have been there too. And so creating this sense of, wow, I'm really not alone, I think it's a profound experience for our so many of our campers to recognize that there's other people that have gone through this and that it's basically okay to not be okay. And it's also okay to have this range of feelings and experiences. So I think that's the beauty, is like I hear all these stories from campers and from family members and mentors just talking about when they all of a sudden realize that they're not the only person going through that and how what that does for their experience walking through that challenge, I think is really profound.
I think there's so much that can be found in lived experiences. And I love that this is giving people who may come from all different walks of life, all different cultures and languages, to be able to have a central location where their lived experience is connecting and valued and replenishing in ways that maybe it felt like a deprivation before.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. And we're here, you know, so we definitely would love to hear from anyone listening or reach out if you have questions or want to learn more. And, you know, we try to do our best while protecting confidentiality of our campers, but we do have some campers that do want to share their story. It's part of their process. And so we have some different videos and some insights to kind of get a feel for how we offer things. And a lot of our activities are also free to use, like the 7 C's or some different kind of grief activities that would really apply to ambiguous loss as well. So like, you know, the Bill of Rights that we have and thinking about your rights to grieve and what that looks like and a whole activity around that, I really recommend, right? So there's a lot of resources that I would just love if you all listening want to take a look at and check out. And I just hope that you find them helpful along your journey.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that you feel I didn't touch on?
No, Julie, I just want to say thank you again. You know, we're all in this together and there are some wonderful organizations doing great work out there. And so I just love that we can support each other and build our own community, you know, as we're trying to build these communities for so many caregivers and so many support professionals. And of course, the youth at the end of the day and the kids. So I just appreciate all you do and for opening the door for us to be part of this conversation. And yeah, I just thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.